Welcome, my fellow humans, to another episode of the Healthy Happy Human Podcast, the show where I teach you how to live healthy, be happy, and lead an all-around full and fulfilled life. With new episodes each and every week, I bring you industry-leading experts, thought leaders, and all-around brilliant minds on topics ranging from mindset to nutrition to habit building to fitness and more. My goal is to help you get from where you are to where you want to be in life. I'm happy to have you here. Now let's dive in. What is up, my friends? Once again, welcome back. Just a quick reminder before we hop right into the episode, check out all of the links in the show notes for my socials and follow me, connect with me on all the different platforms. If you listen to this episode and you get something out of it, I always appreciate you sharing it. And if you're interested in coaching or signing up for one of my group classes like Mindset Shift, How to Flip Your Motivation Switch, click the link in the show notes to get on my mailing list and you'll be notified when availabilities in either one-on-one coaching or group coaching become available. All right, without any further ado, let's get to this week's episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Healthy Happy Human Podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about costs. You might not have studied economics, but there are two very important theories of cost that really we all need to understand if you're looking to lead a full, healthy, happy life. The first thing I want to talk about is the concept of sunk cost, sunk, S-U-N-K. Now, sunk cost is defined as a cost that has already been incurred and cannot be recovered by any significant degree. Now, if you've taken economics and you understand what I'm about to get into, or if you just know this concept or this theory already, please bear with me because I'm going to be breaking it down a little and quantifying it in a way that pertains to health, happiness, fitness, mindset, all the things that we love to talk about here. All right, so an example of a sunk cost would simply be a non-refundable purchase. Say, for example, you see like a new energy drink in the cooler at your gym and you decide you want to give it a try. You're taking a risk. Once you purchase it, you pop the top. That cost is sunk, meaning regardless of the taste, if it tastes like asparagus pea or if it tastes like Red Bull, the worst thing on the planet, you know, you're shot. Doesn't matter. The cost is sunk. There's no getting your money back. You can't return it and buy at your own risk, right? So if you decide you don't want the drink before you open it, right? Say there's a return policy and you buy it, but then you haven't opened it yet. You look at it and you're like, maybe not. Maybe you can swap it out and get your money back, right? But once it's open, the cost is sunk. Doesn't matter your opinion on it. It's money is gone. That's it. Simple enough, right? So, you know, sunk costs, you can't get the back no matter what. And it makes sense then that anytime you incur a sunk cost that you shouldn't dwell on it, right? It's sunk, right? There's no return. There's no refunds. There's no exchange. Therefore, it's a done deal. It's in the past. But unfortunately, in the real world, we see time and time again that this is not the case. Far too often, people wastefully spend their two most precious resources. I talk about this a lot on here. Your two most precious resources are time and energy, right? And people spend a lot of time and energy trying to get back things that are long ago sunk, right? There's a famed Nobel Prize winning author and economist who I've talked about many times on this podcast. His name is Daniel Kahneman. He wrote a book called Thinking Fast and Slow. Thinking Fast and Slow is all about the mistakes that our brains make as humans automatically. It's a great book. Always, always, always recommend. I think every human should read this book. But his colleagues and he devised a study to study the sunk cost phenomenon. And basically, they came up with a scenario and quizzed people to see how they would react. I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but imagine a situation a little like this. So say there's a concert in the next city over from you, and it's like an artist you mildly enjoy, but not someone you care too much about. You know, someone it's like, all right, yeah, whatever. And your friend asks you if you want to go. And they say the ticket is $100. And you're like, nah, I'm all right, not worth it. I don't want to spend $100. I don't like them that much. But then a day before the concert, your friend finds out that they have to leave town. They bought tickets because they did want to see it. And they're like, okay, here, dude, have the ticket for free. You know, just take it. So you accept the ticket because it's free. But, you know, you weren't going to pay $100 for this. But you're like, okay, I'll take it. It's free. So the day of the concert, you travel. It's an hour away. You drive over to the next town. You park. And when you walk up to the door of the venue, you realize that you've misplaced the ticket. And you can't get in. You can't get in contact with your friend. They're out of town. They can't send you a new ticket. You're just stuck. You see that tickets are still being sold at the door. The same $100 price as before. So now the question is, do you buy the ticket? Most people, as it turns out from this study, would say yes, right? You've already driven all the way out there. You parked, you took the night off from work. Maybe you got someone to watch the kids, right? You might as well. But the question is why, right? Because the price hasn't changed. And you scoffed at a $100 price when your friend offered you the ticket before. In the current predicament, though, it seems more reasonable. Most people would say something along the lines like, it's because of the time and the energy you already spent getting there, right? You already drove an hour, so now you're committed to have to drive an hour home. You're an hour away. You might as well, right? But the point is, no. You might as well not. Not really. Because the time that you spent to get there, the gas money, the time that you're going to have to spend to get back is all gone already. It can't be gotten back. It's a sunk cost. Right? If you buy the ticket or pass on the ticket, the new ticket, it will not change that. There is no getting the hour back that you drove there. There's no getting the gas money back. There's no getting the hour back that you're going to drive home. There's no getting the $40 back from Susie next door who you paid to watch your kids for the night. All of that is gone. So it should not factor into your decision-making process when you're deciding if you should replace the lost ticket. The only thing you should be deciding on is, just in the same way when your friend asked you a week ago, hey, do you want to see this band for $100? Is this band and seeing them right now worth $100 of my hard-earned money? Again, you already wasted the drive there. So you're going to have to drive home no matter what, right? You can drive home right now or you could drive home 2 hours from now after the concert. But either way, you're still going to have to drive home an hour. So the real decision is about the money and the time that you will spend at the concert, as that's optional, right? You have the option right now to spend $100. You don't have the option about driving there or back. You have the option about spending the time there because you could go home right now and maybe spend your 2 hours doing something else. But all the other factors are sunk. They shouldn't play into our decision-making process. And, you know, this study that Kahneman created, which has been replicated time and time again, shows that unfortunately, we as humans are not that smart. We don't think about things this way. We continually make decisions that are heavily influenced by our past, even though we can't change it. And this actually has a detriment to our future. This phenomenon that has people being swayed to make unoptimal decisions about the future because of costs in the past that are sunk or upcoming costs that are sunk, because we'll see sunk costs can actually be in the future as well. It's also known as the sunk cost fallacy, right? So here's another example that, you know, maybe you've experienced. You go out to a fancy restaurant for dinner, and after a few shared appetizers, your entree comes and you're kind of looking at it and it's more food than you can handle, right? Your eyes are bigger than your stomach, but you don't want it to go to waste, right? You end up eating the whole plate to the point of being physically sick or being about to pop because the plate was expensive and you want to get your money's worth. But in reality, this is the sunk cost fallacy in action, right? Now, you're just suffering twice because, again, if you buy a $100 steak, that $100 steak is bought when it comes, and if you can't finish it, it doesn't matter. You already paid the $100 for it. Eating the whole steak does not change the fact that you paid for it. What you should be thinking about now is your enjoyment of the future. Meaning, after dinner, do I want to feel stuffed and bloated and like crap because I ate way past where I was supposed to? Or do I want to say, I enjoyed my steak and eat, you know, just a few bites and feel good about it? But the thing is, we don't feel good because we have in the back of our head this feeling of, I wasted my money, I didn't get my money's worth, and now we allow a sunk cost being the $100 that, again, I was going to spend the $100 no matter what. It shouldn't come into a effect, or it shouldn't matter how much of the steak I actually eat. If I was willing to pay the $100 for the steak before it came, right? Before it came to the table, when I was placing my order, I saw the price, $100 for a steak. I ordered it. If I was okay with that price then, it shouldn't matter how much of the steak I eat as long as I enjoy it. The fact of me eating 10%, 20%, or 100% of the steak should not change my enjoyment of the steak, because I paid $100 for it. I wanted to taste the steak. It shouldn't be that, oh, because I finished the whole steak, I get more enjoyment out of it, because that doesn't change anything about the actual process, right? And when we get stuck in this thinking, this thought process, it's been phrased or called throwing good money after bad, because you may have fallen victim to something like this in the past. It's like, say you are at an amusement park and you pay $20 trying to win a teddy bear for your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your kid or something like that. And after you're spending the $20 and not winning, you feel obligated to continue to try to win because of the money you've already spent. You're like, oh, well, I just spent $20 on this. I'm going to pay 10 more. I'm going to pay 20 more. I'm going to keep going, because we feel like I got to make up for that $20 I already spent. In reality, spending more money doesn't make up for that. Even if you win the bear, it doesn't make up for that money that you spent already, right? Again, it's a logical fallacy. And this only makes things worse. The extra $10 or $20 that you're spending, $30, $40, however much money you continue to spend because you lost the first bit, is, again, throwing good money after bad. That first $20 was lost. You went, you played the game, you threw the little rings around the bottle, you missed, money's gone. Now you can try to continue, but you don't win that money back. It's just, again, our logical fallacy of thinking, I need to make up for that lost money, right? I need to eat the whole steak because I need to make $100 worth of steak enter my body. Well, that's not even a real thing, right? So you might be asking now, all right, sure, I get it. Sunk cost, it's already spent, and I continue to try to think about it even though it's money that's gone. But like, what if I really want the teddy bear, right? What if I'm there and I spend $20 and I don't win the teddy bear, but I'm like, I don't care how much money I have to spend. I want to win this goddamn teddy bear. And losing another 40 doesn't matter, right? So then does it matter about the sunk money, because I want the thing and I have the money to spend? And that doesn't change the fact that the previous money is already spent, right? The money that you've already lost is lost, and throwing more money at it doesn't change that. But it does bring me to my next point on costs, and that's sunk costs might be one thing, but the other concept that we really need to understand are opportunity costs. See, in microeconomic theory, opportunity cost is the loss of the benefit that could have been enjoyed if the best alternative choice was chosen instead. Directly or indirectly, opportunity cost underpins the majority of day-to-day economic decisions that are made in a society. All right, so I'm going to reiterate that again. Opportunity cost is the loss of benefit that could have been enjoyed if the best alternative choice was chosen instead. Right? So if sunk cost is throwing good money after bad, opportunity cost is what you could have done better with that money. So going back to our carnival example, you've already lost $20, right? You say, okay, I understand. $20 is long gone. It's whatever. But me spending another $40 to win this bear can't change that. But damn it, like, I just want this bear. And it's only $40. Is that so wrong? And the thing is, again, yes. Because nothing only has one cost, right? The $20 sunk cost aside, opportunity cost exists with literally every decision we make. The opportunity cost of trying to win that damn bear is whatever else you could have spent that $40 on. You could have got popcorn and soda. You could have played the Simpsons arcade game for the rest of the day. You could have bought the bear for $20 and given $20 to a little kid running by. You could have invested that $40, which in a modest 3% interest per year account would have yielded you $1.20 in interest. All right. But then, more importantly than what you could have done with the money, there's also the cost of your energy and your time. Again, our two most valuable resources. We can always make more money. We can't make more time. Any time spent doing one thing, like trying to throw little plastic circles around a glass milk jug in a sweaty, muggy heat in the middle of summer, is time that you are spending not doing other things, like working or exercising or taking singing lessons or cooking or reading or literally anything else, right? So the opportunity cost of any activity is what you could have done in that time with the resources it took to complete that activity. Right now you're listening to this podcast, which has an opportunity cost of whatever other leisure activity you might be doing instead, right? There's no cost to this podcast in terms of money because it's free, but there is the opportunity cost that you could be watching Netflix, you could be reading a book, you could be banging your head against the wall. And if anything like that, any of those options are more valuable to you than listening to this podcast is, then you would have a negative opportunity cost. I'm assuming because you're watching this that you value whatever you're learning here, whatever I'm rambling about, higher than watching Netflix, higher than X, Y, and Z, and that means that this is a good transaction for you. Now, that opportunity cost can be lowered, right? Maybe if you're listening to this while driving or jogging, right? Since that's an activity that you couldn't really be doing something like watching Netflix, you couldn't be exercising while you're driving, the opportunity cost is less because there's less options of what you could be doing in that time. While I'm driving, the only real option I have to do is to listen to something. Now, I could listen to music or I could listen to a podcast. Again, there's variance there. I get more enjoyment from listening to music maybe, but I get more knowledge from listening to a podcast. So each one has its own opportunity cost. If I listen to music, I'm not going to learn as much. But if I listen to a podcast, maybe I won't have as fun of a ride jamming out to Miley Cyrus, but I will have learned something. So if there's just one thing you take away from this whole talk, from everything that I talk about, it's that everything has an opportunity cost. Every single thing has an opportunity cost. Time spent doing one thing is time not spent doing another thing, right? So that's the reason that this is so important. It's not just watching 3 hours of Netflix. It's watching 3 hours of Netflix instead of going grocery shopping and meal prepping on a Sunday afternoon. It's not just going out for drinks on a Friday night. It's going out for drinks on a Friday night, all the money that you're spending there. It's the work that you could have done in that time had you stayed in and worked on your laptop. It's the time that you waste on Saturday hungover being a piece of human garbage instead of being productive and exercising or being an otherwise active member of society, which is hence, as you know, why I tend to drink less these days, because I like to be in column A less and column B more. And this might seem like rather matter of fact way of thinking about things, and that's true. But this literally is a matter of motherfucking fact. Like, no amount of arguing can change this. You might say, like, okay, but I like going out. I like having fun. Like, that's got to be worth something, right? And yes, you are correct. I'm not saying that one shouldn't have fun and that every moment has to be calculated down to the most minuscule cent and second. But I am saying, though, if you did that, I bet you would be very successful in many areas of your life. You'd have a lot more money, you'd have a lot more organization, you'd have a lot more financial success, right? But that has an opportunity cost as well. That's costing you some of your fun, some of your enjoyment. Because remember, everything has an opportunity cost. There's always another way that you could be using your time, your energy, your money. Money spent on one thing is not spent on another thing. A really easy example I learned long ago, again, with personal training, because when I was selling personal training packages, they'd be $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 for, you know, some sessions here in Brooklyn. And I'd have clients who would buy lots of sessions for me. They'd spend $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 a year on personal training. And some people would say that that's crazy. How could they spend that much money? And then if you understand opportunity cost, you can make an educated decision for yourself. Okay, yes, $20,000 to spend on personal training is a lot of money. What could I be spending that money on otherwise? The thing is that most people are going to waste their money anyway. It's called disposable income for a reason. You're going to dispose of it. Most people probably just use it on things like travel or things like going out to eat or things like clothes or whatever it is you spend your money on. So you can weigh the benefits of the opportunity costs of each of those things. Now, when we get into things like personal training or coaching or nutrition, we can see that there are benefits in terms of how your health improves. And then the opportunity gain of the fact that now I have improved health, which is going to lower my healthcare costs over the long run. And it's also going to improve my quality of life. And we can get real deep into this stuff. But it's a way to look at things and understand what is the true cost, because the true cost doesn't stop with just money. That's where people get confused. The true cost is everything that spins out of that, right? The cost of money is what else you could have spent that money on, but it's also the foregone gains on interest you could have made by keeping that money in a stock portfolio or an interest-bearing account. Right? If I spend $10,000 on tattoos, like I tend to, I understand that $10,000 over the next 10 years could have grown to $15,000. So I'm spending $10,000 in the moment and losing out on $5,000 of potential gains in the stock market. And all I'm getting is some shitty ink on my skin. That's a big loss. But I am also getting enjoyment and I love it and I'm a crazy person. So I understand the opportunity cost and the cost and the real cost of doing this. And that's a choice that I make. So, you know, like I was talking about before, going out for drinks. The cost of a situation like that, skipping a night out of drinks and debauchery to save money, you save money, you save your liver. But you also lose out on the fun and the memories that you maybe would have made, or maybe if, when it comes to a night out drinking, at least in my case, memories that you wouldn't have remembered anyway. So either way, there is an opportunity cost, right? Whatever you do or don't do, or theoretically could do, and you might be thinking, all right, like this is getting a little complicated, and you're right, it is. But that doesn't change the fact that this is all real. And no matter what, every single day you are playing this out in real time. So it's so important for you to wrap your head around this, because this will change your life if you can really implement this stuff and like really, really understand it. And to me, this has become a guiding principle in my life, because when I really started understanding and taking seriously opportunity costs is when my life really began to change. Right? Again, I've said this many, many times. Time is our most valuable asset, closely followed by energy. We can make more money. We can't make more time. And we can restore our energy, but we still get finite amounts of it. Meaning our energy is kind of like a battery. It recharges, but we can't just make it out of thin air. It has to charge back up, right? So it's not like time that we can never get back. We do get our energy back. We can rest. We can get energy. But it's still something that we need to pay attention to how we're spending, because it's not like I can just grab a 5-hour energy and that actually works and it just charges me up again, right? So if you can think about it, every single thing like this, the opportunity cost of eating a candy bar is the reduced health that you're going to suffer over the long term, right? The extra calories that you're intaking, the extra sugar could equate to more weight gain. And if you do this a lot, that could equate to more visceral fat, higher blood pressure, diabetes, whatever. There's a million things. Now, not from one candy bar, but these are the things that happen when we continue to make decisions like this. However, again, there's an opportunity cost of eating carrot sticks as well, and that's missing out on the enjoyment of a candy bar and not tasting the loveliness that is a Kit Kat. One is not right or wrong, right? But logic would dictate which one to do depending on your current life situation. And it's important to note that these two are not mutually exclusive, right? The concepts of sunk cost and opportunity cost. If an opportunity cost is already sunk, then it doesn't really bear thinking about, right? So remember that the example of the concert ticket from earlier. Remember, you're outside the concert, you have no ticket, and you think, well, I might as well go. I've already drove all this way. I still have to drive home an hour later regardless. That's a sunk cost. And that's an opportunity cost of I could be doing something else with that hour, but it's already sunk. But the thing is, again, even though it's in the future, even though you haven't used that hour yet, you will, when that hour comes, you will have to drive home no matter what. So again, that is in the future. But there is still an opportunity cost of the $100 that you're going to spend on the ticket. And as I said before, whatever else you could have bought with that money. And then the opportunity cost comes into play really with the 2 hours that you would spend at the concert itself. Again, your drive home later is sunk because you have to do it no matter what. But the 2 or 3 hours that you're going to spend, it's 8 o'clock at night right now. You have the option between going to the concert until 10, 10:30, driving home and getting home at 11:30 or 12, being tired, waking up late tomorrow because you stayed out, blah, 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 blah. Or you have the chance to drive home right now at 8, get home at 9, do a little work on your computer or do a little workout, and then go to sleep early, hang out with your kids, and wake up a little bit more refreshed. That might be the right decision. But now again, if it's a concert that you wanted to go to, that would change the dynamic there. That's why this stuff is important to understand, because everything matters, right? In economic theory, there's an old saying that goes, there's no such thing as a free lunch, right? There's no such thing as a free lunch is made to talk about things like socialism and, you know, whatever, where it's like, oh, everyone wants something for free. But we have to understand that if you're getting free education or free roads or free whatever, it comes from people being taxed, right? So that's the point. Like, everything has to get paid for somehow. But in this, what we've been talking about here for the last few minutes, we see that as well. There's no such thing as a free lunch because everything matters. Everything costs. No matter what you're doing, you're paying somehow. You're paying with time, you're paying with energy, you're paying with money, right? Coming back to fitness and nutrition, all the time people will go, well, why should I get a personal trainer that's $2,000, Paul? Why would someone pay you $20,000 a year to train them when they could do that for free, when they can learn that from YouTube, when Instagram exists? Sure, go ahead. But now you're paying with time. Everything costs, right? You can take the time to learn how to work out. You can go figure out the things about form. You can figure out what a carb and a protein and a calorie is and all the stuff that a personal trainer might teach you, but that's going to take time. So now you have the opportunity cost of your time or the opportunity cost of your money. For some people, they have more money than time, right? You're successful, you're getting good money, you have a lot of money in your bank account, you have a little time. That's the people who I would suggest hiring a personal trainer, hiring a coach, hiring a chef, because the opportunity cost will be better on the side of spending your money and saving your time. But there's other people who that's not the case for. If you're young, you don't have that much money, but you have a lot of time, you just graduated college and you have nothing but free time, then figure it out. Go learn. But understand that everything is a trade-off. There is a dynamic in play here that you can't get around. There's no such thing as a free lunch. What's not going to happen is you're just going to figure out how to work out on your own. Never happens. Never. No one person has ever figured out how to work out correctly on their own. You can put in a ton of time and effort and read books and watch YouTube videos, but you're paying. You're just paying with your time. You're paying with your energy. You're paying with the mistakes that you make and the injuries you get along the way. All that stuff costs. So even if something is completely free, you still pay with time, right? That's the thing. That means there is no such thing as free. Everything has a cost. You just have to think of it that way. And then you can think, if something costs, but it saves me time, which is more valuable? If I can pay Paul to get me a result in 6 months, what it would take me a year to get on my own, is that worth it? If I can pay Paul to get me in 6 weeks a result that would take me 6 years to get on my own, is that worth it? That's up to you. Again, there's no right or wrong answer for this, but this is just to understand that this is the way of the world. This is the way of the universe. It doesn't matter if we like it or not. This is how it is. And that's why I think that understanding these costs, opportunity costs and sunk costs, needs to be like a guiding principle in your life, right? I never tell people what to do. I know better because it doesn't work. In coaching, the entire point is to guide people but allow people to come to their own conclusions, because as humans, autonomy is one of our highest held things, what we strive for the most. We want to be in charge of our own destiny. No one likes to be told what to do, right? So I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm here and I'm begging you that you listen to this and listen again, because this will change your life. If you can really start to consider opportunity costs and to stop over considering and overemphasizing sunk costs, right? Eating healthy, exercise, investing, building a business, literally everything about being successful and building a successful life all hinge on being able to delay gratification, right? We've talked about this before. You understand this, right? Eating something healthy now pays off later. Exercising now sucks, but it pays off later. I invest now for money I'm going to make later. Building a business is hard now, but it pays off later. This is literally what delayed gratification is. Delayed gratification becomes much easier when you understand opportunity cost, right? It's not just eating a Big Mac. There's a cost, a direct cost that I'm paying of $9.46, whatever how much a Big Mac costs, I don't know. But there's also the opportunity cost of your foregone health, of your feeling lethargic after, and your decreased productivity because you feel lazy and because you're going to want to take a nap after and you're not going to go out for a run. Now compare that to a salad, which you make at home, which only costs $5 because you bought it in bulk at the grocery store, right? You bought a bunch of lettuce, tomato, whatever. But you might say, okay, but I want the Big Mac, and the $4 doesn't really tickle my fancy like that, that I'm saving. But we also have the fact that it leaves you feeling better physically. It's getting you closer towards your goal. It also leaves you feeling better mentally because you don't feel ashamed. You don't feel bad. You don't have to go, oh, I know I wasn't supposed to, but I ate the Big Mac. You know, you say, oh yeah, I ate a salad and I prepared it myself and this is great. I feel good. I'm happy about this. So the salad has the opportunity cost of the time it took you to go get groceries and to prepare it, obviously. But, you know, the McDonald's has the opportunity cost of the time it takes you to go get it, or the cost that you pay for DoorDash or whatever, right? And, you know, again, this might seem complicated, but you can literally impute numbers and values and on everything, right? Like, we can really get specific with this stuff and understand that when you're thinking about anything that is going to benefit you in life, if you can break down the opportunity cost of what you're comparing it to, it will tell you the right answer, right? Eating the Big Mac or eating the salad, if I'm only thinking about what I get right now, which is the taste, I might say, well, a Big Mac tastes better, so I'm going to choose that. But if I understand the costs of what's going to come after it and what it really means for me, it makes that decision much clearer. Like, oh, okay, there's a reason to eat the salad, right? The main point is that there's a cost beyond the cost. We can keep going layers and layers deep. And if you remember that, just let it give you a little more pause whenever you have to make a decision, especially a big decision or a little decision. It doesn't really matter. Because the bigger decision, the bigger the impact it will have on your life. And the more important it is to think about all of these different types of costs. And do a quick check. Whenever you're deciding on something, just think, what's the opportunity cost? And think, am I overvaluing costs that are sunk? Am I taking into account and weighing too heavily a sunk cost that I can't change anyway? And let those two things guide your decision-making process. And you'll start to see you can more easily choose the decisions and the route that you want to take that is going to move you more towards the life that you want to live. All right, that's it. That's it for me today. As always, please subscribe. Please screenshot this, share it on Instagram, at me, at Paul Levitin. And if you aren't already following me there, follow me on all social media platforms, connect with me, Facebook, add me as a friend, LinkedIn. I love to talk to people. I want to hear what you thought about this. I want to hear if this was helpful. I want to hear stories about your life and what's going on with you and how your kids are. I just want to hear from you, all right? I'm here talking to myself for hours at a time, so reach out, but also share with a friend, also subscribe, and leave a 5-star rating and review because you love me and I love you, all right? Until next Wednesday, 7 a.m., as always, stay healthy, stay happy, my friends.